The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted against the house, but it didn't collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted against the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, unlike their scribes. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we come to the end of our 16-day study of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus summarizes that the response that he's looking for is ultimately communion. He wants us to know him and for him to know us. And the way we get to have that type of loving knowledge is through keeping his will, basing our entire existence on his word. The entire Sermon on the Mount is to help us to get to know the Lord and open ourselves up through a moral life, a truly Christian life, to have him know us. So he gives us his two concluding remarks. First, is that there are many who will pray. There are many who will prophesy. There are many who will exorcise. There are many who will work tremendous miracles, who won't come to know the Lord, because they won't actually seek and do the will of the Lord. The Lord will work through them because the Lord is merciful, but they won't come to know the Lord. Hence Jesus says, it's not those who invoke me in prayer, it's not those who carry out these types of ministerial works, but ultimately the one who does the will of the Father in heaven, who knows me. So at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the real litmus test, if we've heard it correctly, is whether we're seeking to do it, to become people of the Beatitudes, salt of the earth, light of the world, to live the seven antinomies Jesus gives us, not to hate, not to lust, not to take false oaths, to turn the other cheek, to love our neighbor, to trust in the Lord and pray, to fast, pray, and give alms differently than the rest, to recognize that the Father cares for us more than lilies and sparrows, to become that good trunk of a tree bearing abundant fruit. This is what we seek to do because it is the Lord's will for us. Second great image is of the two houses. Jesus is a tecton. He's a construction worker. He built things. He knew in the Holy Land that when the rains would come and go down into the valley, there'd be a big riverbed left, nice and flat, and the lazy people would build their houses right there. But the next time there were the big storms, they wouldn't be strong enough because you couldn't put real foundations in the sand in order to survive. in the Holy Land at the time, if you were building a house, to build on rock meant to build on cracky rocks all over the place. It took a tremendous amount of patience. You didn't have backhoes, you didn't have jackhammers. You were going to be drilling down into a whole bunch of uneven space, but once you did, that's when the storms couldn't collapse the house. So what Jesus is saying is, all his words, all his sayings here, are like those craggy rocks. It might not seem totally even what he's asking of us. We might not totally grasp it. But he wants us to build our foundation there, because the storms are going to come. And when the storms do come, he wants us built by him, the tecton, on him, the cornerstone. And the way we do that is through knowledge, by doing God's will, just as Jesus came into the world to do the will of the one who sent him. We are able to achieve that mutual knowledge through sharing in that will. Love is, as Pope Benedict always repeated, idem vele, idem nolle. To want the same things and to reject the same things. And we come to really experience the Lord's love and love him back by wanting what he wants in an effective way. Today's first reading, we see consequence first of not doing the will of the Lord, and then how the Lord responds to somebody who does seek to do the Lord's will. This is at the very early stages of God's revelation to man, and so God didn't give us calculus before he gave us spelling. And so what we see here is Sarah not really seeking what the Lord wanted, not really trusting in what the Lord had said. Because faithfulness is to ground ourselves in the Lord's word, and the Lord had promised to make Abraham a father of many nations. But 10 years in, Sarah was impatient. So she said, "Take Hagar, my concubine, and have a child through her." She didn't trust as Abraham had trusted, even though occasionally he wavered. Let's take things into our own hands. Much like that first sin of Adam and Eve, they were desiring what God wanted to give. God wanted to make them his image and likeness, wanted to make them evermore like God. But the devil was able to tempt them to do it by other means than what God had willed, to take the future into their own hands. And so did Sarah here. Okay, apparently God's not going to do it. Take my concubine and have a child through her. And every time we create that opening to sin, worse stuff happens. After God gives Hagar Ishmael, Sarah can't handle it. She's envious. She begins in a paranoid way to think that Hagar's holding it over her. It begins to abuse her to such a degree that Hagar runs away. Later we know when Hagar returns, and even after Isaac is born, Sarah still can't handle it. And when Isaac is playing with Ishmael, forces Abraham to dismiss her a second time. And in both occasions, out goes Hagar. And Hagar responds with faith in the Lord. Today we see what occurs. The Lord, through an angel, finds her by a spring in the wilderness and asks where she's going. But when the Lord says, "Go back to your mistress, submit to her insults, because I will make your descendants so numerous that they will be too many to count," she trusted. She did the will of the Lord and she returned. That's precisely what the Lord did. Even in the midst of the storms that were blowing and buffeting against her, She had a very natural and supernatural trust to do whatever the Lord was asking, not according to her own wits, but according to the Lord's words. And there's so much for us to learn from that. You know, the great rabbinical scholars always compared Hagar to Moses. Moses would come after Hagar, as we know. Just like Sarah was abusing Hagar and she ran away. So Moses ran away, thinking that he would be slain for having slayed the Egyptian. Eventually God found both of them in the wilderness. And then they went out a second time, Hagar with Ishmael, eventually to found that nation, and Moses with all the Jews leaving Pharaoh's clutches. But Hagar was a type of Moses who would come later, who would lead God's people. She was one who had learned from Abraham a little bit about his faith to go on a journey, the destination of which God had not indicated, but simply recognizing that you're journeying with God, and for that reason, you're journeying safely. To get to know the Lord by doing His will, to build our house on the Lord's holy word. Today we celebrate two figures who show us how to do it. Saint Cyril of Alexandria had an extraordinary love of Our Lady. And Our Lady was one who knew the Lord intimately because her whole life developed in accordance with the Lord's will. She sought to do the Lord's will in everything, and even said in response to God's vocational summons, "Let my whole life develop according to your word." She is the one who built the skyscraper much higher than the Freedom Tower on the granite of the Lord's word. She's praying for us to be able to do the same. Saint Cyril of Alexandria is one of the most curious saints of all time because he loved to use his fists. And when people were disparaging the honor of Our Lady, much like Saint Louis Marie Grignion de Montfort, centuries later, those were fighting words. And so he wasn't afraid to use and become the fists of the mystical body, swinging them somewhat cavalierly against those who were not looking at the Blessed Mother aright. It was at the Council of Ephesus that he fought very hard, likewise with his arguments, in order that the whole church would recognize that Mary is not just the mother of Jesus according to humanity, but because Jesus is a divine person with a fully human nature, therefore she is the mother of God. And because of his holy pugnacity, out of love for the one who shows us all how to do the Lord's will and build our life on his word, he was declared not just a saint, but a doctor of the church. He continues to teach us to this day how to live what God proclaims. So at the end of this 16-day study of the Sermon on the Mount, we give God thanks. We ask for the intercession of Our Lady and Saint Cyril, not just to cry out, "Thanks be to God and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ," but to cry out for help, so that these architectural plans of Jesus' words might help us, like Our Lady, build a true skyscraper, reaching out to the one who stretches out his arms toward us.